Hello, and welcome to Increasing Faith's podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We're so happy you found us. We exist to reach people with the love of God, to serve those in our community, and to empower God's people to become agents of change. Have you been inspired to reach higher, to push beyond your current circumstances? Or have we helped you get to that aha moment? Then share this with a friend. We can't wait to see you soon. God bless.
My God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God is good. Amen. Amen. Yeah. On this morning, before we go any step further, I want to do something. For the safety of recording, must I keep the microphone? Is that better? That's better? Okay. Amen. All right. While every head and eyes will be bowed when I ask you to, I'm going to speak to your hearts and mind. And on today, if there's anything that you desire, if it's anything that you're believing God for, if it's anything that's troubling your heart, a sickness, a ailment, I am going to, while every head will be bowed and every eyes will be closed and no one looking to the left nor right, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to ask you to remain at your seat, and I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Is that all right? Now, if you feel as though you need to come forward, then that's fine. I'm not going to hinder you. I'm not going to put a stumbling block in your way. But I believe on last year, what I did not do is I didn't give folks enough opportunity to release. This is one of the things that I'm going to do this year. I remember we used to do a lot of breakthrough moments. People were leaving. People were leaving the church freed. So I prayed and I said, you know what, Lord? People are carrying burdens and weight and issues, and this is one of the reasons why they come, not only to hear the word, but to be delivered. And when you've tried, or a person's tried and tried and tried so many things and it don't work, oftentimes they feel like, well, I might as well try the Lord. Amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you that opportunity to break through. Somebody say breakthrough. Breakthrough. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. While every head is bowed now and every eyes are closed, that means no one is paying attention. Amen. No one is paying attention to what's happening on the left nor right, forward and back. I want you to just free your mind for a moment. Free yourself for a moment. Just free yourself. Because it don't have to be like the way you think it may be. It can be better. Amen. On this morning, if there's any person in this place that have a nagging ailment in their body, I'm talking about an ailment in their body that nags them, and you so desperately want it to be relieved, raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. See that hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Right now. I'm going to pray for you. I see you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you that this is not of God, but God is going to use this to get his glory. Father, I pray by faith. Oh, I'm no healer, God. I am no healer. I am just a man. But you are the healer. And I'm asking you now, Father, by faith, to touch each one that raised their hand. Obviously, God, whatever they are trying is not working, Father. And I'm quite sure they have tried this and they have tried that and they have done exactly what doctors have said. but they're still not getting relief. I know for a truth that you are a healer. I've seen how you have healed people right before my eyes. I've seen how you healed my father. I've seen how you healed some of my friends. Father, I've seen how you've healed I've heard their testimonies. So just that alone, I know that you are a healer. And I know that this type of healing cannot be done just by medicine, but it also has to be done by faith. Father, I'm asking you to perform the impossible in their life. No, Father, I don't have to lay my hands on their head for them to receive. They raise their hands, so automatically they received. So, Father, let this be done by faith, not by emotion. Whatever pain is nagging them in the middle of the night, Father, send your spirit, dear Lord. When the enemy tries to remind them that the pain is not gone, Father, send your Holy Spirit, God, to remind them that by Jesus' stripes, they are healed. And I bind the enemy that tries to bring it up in their mind that they are not healed. I bind that word. By faith, the body will perform according to your word. By faith, the cells will line up by your word. You have given the body the power to heal within itself. So heal these your precious people in Jesus' name. I need the church to say right along with them, I'm healed. I need the church to come on, say right along with them. If you raise your hand up, hallelujah, the church is going to agree with you. And I want you to say these words with me on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, I'm healed. Come on, let's say it again, claim it, I'm healed. See, at that moment, that's where you take emotions and you begin to attach it to your confession. I need somebody to get happy and shout, I'm healed. In Jesus' name. While every head is still bowed and every eyes are still closed and no one looking to the left nor right. If there's any in this place that's battling mental depression, you've been dealing with that. I want you to know that that's not yours. It's not yours. While every head is bowed and every eyes is closed and no one looking to the left nor right, if you have been dealing with that, I want to see your hand. Raise it up if that's you. Amen. I see your hands. You may put it down. That's not yours. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you this. The only reason why you feel like that is because you've taken ownership of something that's not yours. It's not your responsibility. That's not yours to carry. And you're going to feel better when you release the concern. I'm going to pray for you. Father, you said that we should have the kind of mind like Christ. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be found in us. Oh, they have this mind they have been born with. This is not a mind that they have to find. The ones who raise their hand, Satan is trying to fight them in their mind because Satan understands that if they ever tap into that mind, if they truly ever tap into that mind, supernatural doors, I really believe by faith, will be unlocked to them. Satan, I bind your hand over that mind. You are not the originator of their thoughts. You are not the originator of their conscience, and you have no right to plague their mind with circumstances, unsolved problems. They will no longer go to bed worrying about what seem to be unsolved problems. They will no longer walk through the midday worrying about what seem to be unresolved circumstances. You are free from every worry. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, Lord, send your spirit to supernaturally unlock their mind so that they can see clearly. unlock their conscience and unlock their thoughts and ease their mind. Ease their mind. Ease the wondering mind. Ease the weary mind. Ease the troubled mind, that they may rest now. Give them the anointing to rest their conscience. Give them the anointing to rest their mind. And Satan, I bind you. Your hand has been removed by the power of God. They will not experience depression, that mental state, anymore. By faith, this is done. Somebody shout, my mind is healed. Somebody shout, my mind is healed. Yeah. 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 Hallelujah. 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 If there's anyone in this room that's battling with an unforgiving heart, thank you, Lord. You're battling with an unforgiving heart. Something happened in your life. Something happened. Could have been 5 years ago. Could have been 10 years ago. Could have been 20 years ago. Something happened, and you're holding that. You've tried to find a way how to forgive, but it's hard to move on. He did you wrong. She did you wrong. Mother, father, sister, brother, did you wrong. I want you to raise your hand while every head is bowed and every eyes is closed, if that is you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to let you know the Lord sent you here this morning. Breakthrough. Breakthrough moments is right here. There is nothing else that's hindering you from moving forward. And if you raise your hand and you was dealing with mental depression, your mental depression is coming from this issue here, unforgiveness. And it's not you forgiving the person that did you wrong. It's just you forgiving yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgiving yourself is not saying that you caused it. Forgiving yourself to say that I release myself from it. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. God wants you to move forward in this year. Yeah. He wants you to move forward this year. Some of the things that you were destined to receive in 2021, you didn't get it because you was holding on. Holding on to something that you need to release yourself from. When that kind of hurt comes, it comes because you have so demand or so much expectation for that person or those individuals. And then here comes the letdown. But the Bible says that there is a friend that will stick closer to you than a brother. And his name is Jesus. I need a church to say Jesus. I need a church to say Jesus. Just let it go. Finally, let it go. I'm going to help you. I know it hurts, but I'm going to help you. I need the whole church together to take a deep breath in. Blow it out. You're letting it go. See right there? That's your first step by faith, to let it go. You can't do it physically. You've been trying to do it physically. You've been trying to forgive physically. But anything God requires you to do, you have to do it by faith. The hurt hurts too great to do it emotionally. You must do it by faith. You must forgive by faith. Release yourself into your destiny. Release yourself into your promise. Release yourself into your call. It's all right. You're not going to look funny. You're not going to look weird. You got to release it. You must release it. The unforgiveness that you may be harnessing in your heart is destroying you inwardly. This year is filled with too many promises. Too many possibilities. Let it go. Breathe in. Push it all the way out. You can't spend another moment. You can't spend another hour. There is a friend right in front of you. You can touch him by faith. He sticks closer to you than a brother. Tell him about it. You don't have to pick up a phone and call another person. Just cry and tell him about it. Deep breath. Push out the hurt. Push out the pain. Push out the broken heart. Deep breath. You're releasing it. And don't let Satan speak to you at that moment to tell you to hold on to it. Immediately, you're supposed to be feeling a relief. If you're not feeling a relief, it's because you're fighting. You're fighting. You're fighting. Don't fight it. Deep breath. Fill your lungs. Blow it out. Empty out your belly. Hallelujah. You are free on this morning. You are free from that hurt on this morning. It no longer has bondage over your life. You must receive that by faith. You are not responsible for whatever condition. Release yourself from it. In Jesus' name, let the church shout amen. Hallelujah. 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 If you receive those gifts on this morning, come on, give them a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saved the best for last. With this, you're going to hear the word of God first, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to give you another opportunity. I must save the best for last. The reason why, for this one, the Bible declares, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I believe that when you hear this one, after hearing the word of God, you'll be ready to receive. Amen. If you're excited, come on, let's give God a praise in this place. Ooh, I wish I see, I'm sending a little sign. I wish I had my lapel microphone ready. My wife looking at me like, no, don't take it serious. I just would like to hold a Bible and talk a little bit. Amen. That's all. What's that? Oh, okay. Amen. So I'm going to do it this way. But holding this microphone in your hand make you just want to preach like a traditional preacher. And I don't want to do that. Amen. I want to talk on this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's see if we can make this thing happen with my left hand. Do we have any lefties in the building? Oh, man. You'd have been all right, huh? Doing this. Amen. I'm a righty. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12. Turn your book over to Romans chapter 12. Amen. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to deal with this on this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And when you have it, just say, I've got it. Amen. 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 I'm going to give you a few more moments to get it. Amen. I'm using the traditional leatherback. Our translation on this morning may be a little bit different because I'll be reading out the New King James Version. Amen. It's just a bumped up version from the King James Version. The King James Version doesn't really speak in our language. It uses terminologies that we don't use. And sometimes that can trip you up. So oftentimes I like to use the New King James Version because it speaks more in our language. However, the meaning is still the same. If you're using a different language, don't fret. We will still end up at the same place. And I promise you at the same time. Amen. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. And here's the Apostle Paul. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, somebody say that me. See, that's not God right there. That's you. See that? He says, that you, not God, present your bodies, not God presenting your bodies, but you. Somebody say, it's my responsibility. There you go. There you go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, that Frankie, present his body. What kind of sacrifice? A living sacrifice. So God is not after our money. You don't got to clench your wallet. You don't got to clench your pockets. You don't got to clench your purse. God is not after your money. God is not after your house. God is not after any of those things. Say, God is after me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what God rather you do is present yourself to him. See that? You bring your, because when you bring yourself to God, then God knows you are serious. See it? The Bible declares that if you draw nigh, if you draw nigh unto him, then it will provoke God to draw nigh unto you. So guess what? It starts with me what? First. See, it starts with me what? It starts with me what? See that? If we are not seeing it happen in our life, it's because God wants to see if we're serious. So guess what you got to do? Take the first step. I don't know how the first step look. You don't supposed to, because it's done by what? Yeah, okay, all right, you got this. He says, present your bodies. What kind of sacrifice? Yeah, 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 yeah. Let everything that have breath do what? Yeah, that means you got to be living to do that. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or rational service. Here we go, verse 2. And do not be. King James Version says, and be not conformed. See, I like that because it gives more of a punch. And be not conformed. And be not conformed. And be not conformed to what? This world. When you have conformed, is because you have allowed yourself to be persuaded and influenced. And whatever you spend time in most, eventually that's the thing that's going to conform you, influence you, and persuade you. If the Spirit of God in this year is not influencing you, persuading you, motivating or inspiring you, is not because he cannot, it's because you are not spending enough time with. You see that? Even a baby that comes out of the womb of a mother, if she don't spend the appropriate time with that baby will grow up disconnected from the mother that gave birth. So you must spend time. Say, I must spend time. If it's anything that we got to work on this year, is spending time with God. Not just sitting and meditating, but spending time with him in his word. Because he will talk to you through his word. Is that all right? But be what? Transformed by what? But be what? Transformed by the what? The purpose of us being transformed by the renewing of our mind is so that we can prove something. Not to God, but to yourself. So that I may be able to prove to myself what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for what you have already done thus far. But I also thank you for what you are going to do even so now. As the word come forth, Father, let it not be hindered by the limitations of our mind. Let it be not limited by unseen forces or any seen forces. But let your word move freely to the hearts and minds of these your precious people. Now, God, let me decrease immediately. Let me decrease, all of me. Let my spiritual man decrease right now, so that your spirit, your Holy Spirit, your precious spirit that comes to bear witness of Christ, the word of God, may increase in me, that I get no credit for whatever good may happen on today, that you get all the credit. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. I want to talk with you if I can, just a little bit, just to hold you just for a little while, and to dine with you on the subject matter of this month called Transformation of the Mind. Guys, this is not a new subject. This is not a new subject that we deal with. This is a subject matter that we actually deal with year after year. But what I want you to realize is that it never gets old. If we can turn it down just a hair, it never gets old. Transformation of the mind. I realize that when we lose battles in our life, not the war, but the battle in our life, is because we have lost the battle of our mind. If it's anything that Satan fights us with, it is your mind. You might think that he is fighting in the area of finances because you're feeling the pressure of it, but it's not finances. You may think that he is fighting you in the area of your family because you can feel the pressure of it, but it's not the family. You may think that he is fighting you in the area of, let's say, education, but it's not the education, even though you can feel the weight of it. You may even think that he is fighting you in the area of your health because you can feel the weight or pressure of the health. And the moment he gets your mind to think on the lack of these areas, that you begin to use all your energy trying to correct something that really that's not where the fight is. The fight is not in the health. The fight is not in the finances. The fight is not in the wife. The fight is not in the husband. The fight is not in the children. But the fight is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. The battle is right here in your thought life. The battle is in your mind. If you can turn your Bibles with me quickly over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Come on, Mr. Lefty. I'm going to get this left hand. Oh, I'm going to get this left hand thing down today. Amen. Somebody said, well, Pastor Frank, you can switch the microphone. You're right. Duh. Amen. Duh. Right. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1. I want us to look at this because the battle is not in the physical. The battle is not in the physical. The battle is not in the physical. All last year, we've been focusing on bettering our physical. Bettering our physical health. Bettering our physical. Trying to build more physical stamina. And all of those things are commendable and it is good, but that's not where the battle lies. The battle lies in the mind. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1 says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let's put a period there. For every temptation that you will deal with in this year, understand that it is not something new. The things that you even dealt with on last year was nothing new. Satan can never tempt you with something that's not there. The temptation only comes to reveal to you the truth within yourself. If there's anything that we are afraid of seeing the truth of ourselves. So we have grown to live within a mask. We mask ourselves in education. We mask ourselves in business. We mask ourselves in talents and gift. And we grow up living that way and never really facing ourselves. So when the battle within the self happens, we gravitate towards a gift. We gravitate towards a talent. We gravitate towards a status. We begin to try to hide ourselves so no one can see us. That's why a lot of folk don't want to come to small churches, because small churches are so intimate. We can hide in 1,500 people, but it's hard to hide around 50 or 25 or even 10. But God is looking for a church, not a church that's large in number, but he is trying to find a church that's intimate with him. And he'll visit you. He'll visit you. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, another translation said, immediately he was hungry. Now, the thing that got to me was this. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. So he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and during the fast he was not hungry. I want you to get that. He became hungry after the fast. Watch this. I want you to get this. He was not hungry when fasting. The scripture says, and when he had fasted, that had means after. So it could have said it like this. after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Is this all right? The had is what? Past tense. So while he was fasting, he wasn't hungry. 40 days and 40 nights he went without food and water. Not a Daniel fast. Not a fasting from your snacks. Not a fasting from Netflix. I know we got this thing where we get off of social media. So a social media fast, none of that exists. The Bible says that when he fasts 40 days and 40 nights. Hey, if I tell the church, we're going to go on a week fast. Man, boy, now you know, I like Pastor Frank, but boy, I don't know about that. The Bible declared that he was not hungry while he was fasting. So that lets me know that Satan ain't fighting you when you're praying. Satan is not fighting you while you're talking to God. In fact, Satan is not even there while you are praying to God. I want to hit. Is this helping you? Satan is not present while you are praying to God. Satan is not there while you are in intimate worship with God. Because that's an area in life that he has no power to come in. Satan has no power to interrupt you in your worship and praise to God. Satan has no right nor control to come in and stop your worship with God. Because that's intimate with you and him. That's intimate with you and God. So in the past, if you thought in the past while you was praying Satan was there, tell your neighbor he's not. He is not there. He is not there. He is not there. When you are worshiping God riding down the road, Satan ain't there. So here's the deal. If you don't want Satan to bother you like that, then just stay in worship. Tell your neighbor, just stay in the presence of the Lord. Because guess what? Satan can't come there. You are safe in the presence of the Lord. Well, that's what the scripture says. The scripture says, and when he had fasted, that means while he was fasting, there was no devil. The temptation came after he fasted. So this means the tests and the trials of life doesn't happen when you are praying. It happens after. So you don't need faith when you're praying. You need faith after. You don't need faith when you're singing. You need it what? Satan can't bother you when you're worshiping God. Satan can't bother you when you're praising God. Satan can't bother you when you're fasting. Satan can't bother you when your mind is on him, because that's an area that he has no right to. Satan can't touch you there. The Bible says that after he fasted, he was what? Hungry. Satan fights you in the flesh. He fights you in the flesh. See that? He fights you in the flesh. He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones. Here we go with reality. Satan wants you to focus on reality. He wants you to focus where? On reality. Reality could be the circumstance. Reality could be the trouble. Reality could be the problem. He wants you to get your mind off him and begin to focus on the issue. Begin to focus on the problem. Because I promise you, no matter what year we enter in, we're going to have some trials. Like, not every day is going to be sunshining. Not every day is just going to be perfect. There's going to be some ups and downs, because that comes with life. But Christ don't want us to give all of our attention to the problem. Tell your neighbor, keep your mind on him. You're safe when your mind remains on him. You're unsafe when you take your mind off Christ, you take your mind off the word of God, and you begin to put it on the circumstances, because you're going to have them. Some of these circumstances we know are going to happen, and some circumstances you don't even know what's going to happen. Now, when the tempter came, he said, if you be the Son of God, if you're saved, do this. Like, what I want you to do is I want you to prove it to the world that you are anointed. I want you to prove it to your family, to your friends, that you've been called by God. I want you to prove it to your co-workers that you're filled with the Spirit. So then that's where folk get so sick and tired of church folk, because that's when they begin to try to walk all holy like they're better than them. See, that's that they have fallen to the temptation of the enemy. What Christ wants you to do is blend in with the hurt. He wants you to blend in with the brokenhearted. He wants you to blend in with the poor, so that you can minister to them. But the reason why most folk don't want to deal with church folk, because church folk think that they're all that. Well, I've been where you are, but look at me now. You know, if you try Jesus, you can come up to where I am. And that's where honoring the pastor like he is God comes from. But I want you to get this, and I want you to understand this. He says this. If you are the Son of God, He told you that in last year. And some of us, we fell right on the trap. In fact, God has called some of us to ministry, to work. And we said, God, that's not me. Because you're trying to prove it to people. And God want to use you right where you are and let him build you up. Stop trying to build yourself up. And let him build you up. Hallelujah. Is this all right? But Jesus refused the enemy. He said, I will not seek to prove myself to nobody. God knows exactly who I am. In fact, Satan, you know that I'm the Son of God. The reason why you know that I'm the Son of God, because you came to me about it. So if the enemy come to you for you to prove who you are, you don't have to, because your enemy already knows who you are. If your enemy try to get you to prove that you're holy, sanctified, filled with the Spirit, you don't got to do no more or less. Listen, it's one thing when you can get your enemy to begin to testify of who you are versus I'm your brother or this person is your sister and they can tell you, you are a child of God. I know that feels good, but when your enemy, your adversary, the one to seek to accuse you day and night to the Father, can twist his lips to say, you are the Son of God. And if you are the Son of God, do this. Boy, you winning. You winning. When your enemy can come and say, now, you know, I know you got a relationship with God, but you ain't all that. Don't get mad. Begin to say, yeah, I know. You know I am that. That's why you came to me first with this. So Jesus didn't have to prove himself. So here's what he did. He answered and said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Not my opinion. It is written. It is written. Not how I feel. It is written. It is written. Have you been using the word of God lately? Or have you been using your emotions on the circumstances? Have you been really using the word of God lately? Or you've been using your emotions on the issues and problems? Because it's really not based on how you feel. It's a trick. Tell your neighbors a trick. He wants you to get tricked on how you feel and begin to prove yourself. But you have to use the word of God. Jesus said, it is written. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. I want you to skip all the way down to verse 11. After all of these back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. In verse 10, before you read verse 11, Jesus got tired of it. Some of us, we have not got tired of it. Jesus said this, away with you, Satan. Away with you, Satan. He didn't ask Satan. He gave Satan a commandment. That means you can command Satan to stay or you can command Satan to leave. It's not based on God. It is based on you and me. Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written. See, all of those challenges, Jesus used the word. He said, it is written. You shall not worship the Lord your God, or you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then watch this. Then the devil left. But where did the devil leave him? Where did Satan leave him? You're looking for Satan to leave you in the physical realm, and that's not it. You're looking for Satan to leave you in the physical appearance, and that's not it. In fact, Satan never showed himself to Jesus physically. He never physically showed himself to Jesus. But where he was bothering Christ was where? In the mind. So he began to speak to Jesus in his mind after he realized he was hungry. The Bible says after he fasted, he became what? Hungry. He became what? Hungry. When he realized he was hungry. When he realized he was hungry. But all before then, Jesus never realized he was hungry when he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You mean to tell me right then, there he should have been hungry. There he should have recognized, boy, I need to eat something, man. It's a week gone and I ain't had no bread. I'm hungry. But you mean to tell me after it was over, then he realized he was hungry? Then the tempter came? When did the tempter came? When he realized he was hungry? When he realized, I don't know, that's going over somebody's head. When he realized he was hungry, how you know you sick? When you realize you sick, how you know you depressed? When you realize you are depressed, how do you know you're frustrated? When you realize you're frustrated, how you know when you're down? When you realize, how you know when you poor? When you, not the enemy, when you realize that. And the moment you realize you're sick, here come the enemy. The moment you realize you're downtrodden, here come the enemy. The moment I realize that I'm frustrated, here come the enemy. The moment I realize that I got a mental state, here comes the enemy. And the enemy was not going to nag you in your joy. The enemy is not going to nag you in your peace. He's going to nag you in the area that you realize. Pastor Sam, how you doing today? So I'm going to pull up a chair and sit in front of you, and I'm going to just, we're going to have Bible study because we the only one here. Is when you realize it. The Bible says, give no room, give no room, give no room, give no room to the enemy. That means don't allow him to have a place in your life. Trouble in your marriage, only because you realize it. And the moment you realize that thing, here comes the enemy to fight you in the area that you realize. As long as you don't realize it, it don't exist. As long as I don't give racism a thought, racism, it might exist for you, but it don't exist for. The moment I realize that prejudice don't exist, it may exist for them, but it don't exist for. Whatever you give your focus to, whatever you give your attention to, that's where the enemy gonna fight you. So if you're tired of the enemy fighting you in these areas, then don't realize it. Because your realizing brings it true or brings it real. Okay, all right. Okay. Okay. So where did he fight Jesus? It was in his mind. It was in his thought life. It was in his mind. It was in his thought life. It was in, if this is all right, come on, say I. Yeah, if you're getting anything out of this, come on, say I. It was in his thought life. He brought an idea to Jesus. The idea was to turn these stones into bread. That was the idea. And the moment Satan bring an idea to you in your mind, you know what your mind began to do? Paint an image of it. Oh, you sick today. Let me show you what being sick look like. Let me show you what sick look like. You driving past Walgreens and you see some people going to Walgreens getting some medicine. We were coming to church this morning and we saw some folk right at the hospital. They just line up, 15 of them line up, everybody looking like this. The healing is here. They over at the healing is here. They over at the healing is here. They over at the. They got more faith in the hospital. When the healing is here, the reason why they're sick, because they realize it. And if you go over there right now, you tell them, y'all ain't sick. Oh, yes, I am. I got a fever of 102. I got. You claiming that. Then you go back and you tell somebody, yeah, man, I've been out of work for 14 days. Why? I had the COVID. I had that thing, boy. Boy, y'all don't understand how bad that thing is. I had that. Boy, let me tell you, that thing is terrible because I had that. more happy you had sickness than healing. So when folk walking around here healing their body, they're looking down because they healed. You got no ailment. You got no issue going on within your members. But then folk rejoice when they, man, how you feeling today, bro? Boy, I don't feel good today. I got the flu. It's more of a fight for that person to say, yeah, you know, my body feel a little ill, but boy, I got the victory. I got the victory. He fought Jesus in the mind. Before Jesus set out in ministry, Jesus had to get his mind strong. And it was right there he was able to take the cross because his mind was strong. The Bible says that the enemy, that the devil did what? The devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. When the enemy did what? Left him. The angels came and served him. The Spirit of the Lord will serve you. Because it's not God's will for you to remain empty. Somebody say, fill me up, Lord. Somebody say, fill me up, Lord. Could it be that God had already brought you out of that trouble, but you didn't fill yourself up in his word? So then the trouble came back 10 times harder. Because it's not the will of God for you to remain empty. God wants to fill you up. So when the enemy has been filling your life up with drama, the enemy has been filling your life up with foolishness, the enemy has been filling your life up with everything that's not the will of God, and God's Spirit show up and does what? Remove that weight, remove that pressure. You are empty at that moment, and immediately you have to go find a man or woman of God to fill you up in his word. Because it's not the will of God for you to be empty, but it's the will of God for you to be what? Filled and refilled. Paul said, I die what? Daily. So that means if you die daily, you got to be filled what? Daily. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit today and think that I don't need him no more. Tomorrow is a new day. In fact, tomorrow in God's eyes is a new year. And whatever you did on yesterday, today is a different day. You got to be what? Refill. How many of you need a refillment? Come on, let's make some noise. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's all right to need a refill because it's telling you, you need God. You can't run your car on the same gas that you did on last week. I mean, even if you got an electric car, you still got to find some kind of outlet and plug it in. I mean, you're not using the same cell phone on the same charge a week ago. At some point in time, you got to stop what you're doing, notice that your phone is dying, and plug it up so it can be what? Recharged. The reason why it's difficult for us to be recharged is because we're still going. We got to go. We got to get that mountain. We got to get that business. We got to get that client. And you spend no time with God so that God can recharge you. And then that's why we don't remain steadfast in that thing. That's why we don't remain immovable in that thing. That's why we're not always abounding, because you're not taking the time to allow the Spirit of the Lord to recharge you. Jesus waited. Number one, he waited so that the Spirit of the Lord can minister to him. You've been through some battles. You've been through some issues. And all God wants you to do is just wait and let me recharge you before I give you the next assignment. If this is all right, come on, say I. What time is we almost done? Transformation of the mind. But I'm not going to just stick with transformation of the mind. I'm going to deal with certain areas. Because when your mind is transformed, it has to be transformed upon something. When your mind itself is transformed, it must be transformed upon something. I want you to show you something here. Hallelujah. This is all right. What I want you to do is I want you. Let me get my place. I want you to turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4. Somebody said, use the right hand, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 4. I got to put this down because I could turn better with both hands. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's get that. Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to get that. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start. We're going to start at the 17th verse of Ephesians chapter 4. 17th verse. When you have it, just say, I got it. Ephesians chapter 4, 17th verse says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in futility of their mind. Emptiness, lack, limitation of their what? Wow. Say the mind is the issue. Yeah. Futility of their mind. Watch this. Having their understanding darkened. So where do we understand? See, you got to talk back to me, man. Or I'm going to sit down. We're not going to do this year. You got to talk back to me. Or I'm going to sit down. Listen to me carefully. Because we got to learn this year. I think some of our losing was maybe I haven't. I'm going to take responsibility for this one. Maybe I haven't been speaking the words of God so plainly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take responsibility for all your mess ups. No, Pastor, you ain't got to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take responsibility for all of our slip ups. But I ain't taking it now this year. Because I'm going to stand flat footed and I'm going to teach the word. I screamed last year. And I'll give you some of that in the beginning of the service. But when it's time for the word, I'm going to teach you the word. Because we're not losing in life because of our... I guess I just got to get emotionally charged today. We're losing it maybe because faith cometh by... and hearing by the word of God. So where do we understand, church? Where? Our victory will be found where? Where? Understand, this is where the enemy will attack you. Which means when you get to March, you should still have the fire in your bones. You should still be excited within the spirit. Why? Because you understand where the enemy is going to fight you. He's going to fight you where? Where? He says, watch this. Having their understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God because the ignorance. Where are we ignorant? Where are we ignorant? See, you think that you got to go to college. And the more worldly information you get, the more ignorant of God we become. Oh, I know you got the bachelor's degree, and I know you got 10 masters. But when it comes to the things of God, you're ignorant. We're ignorant. And so ignorant that folk now think that they got to go to a university, to a seminar, university, to have a relationship with God. Okay. Ignorant in their mind. That is in them because the blindness of their heart. Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanness, with greediness. Greediness, all of that starts where? 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 But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. It is impossible to be born again where? Being born again is where? See, we thought being born again is your feelings got to be born again, but God wants us to be born again where? Because in your mind is where you perceive. In your mind is where you perceive. The way you receive is based on how you per. The way you receive is based on how you what? The way you receive is how you what? The way you receive is how you what? The way you receive is how you what? If you're not receiving from God, it's because of your perception within your mind. The way you receive from God is getting an image in your mind of the thing that you desire. If I desire a healthy marriage, then I got to have an image in my mind about it. If you want healing in your body, you got to have an image in your mind of what healing looks like. If you want salvation within the spirit, in your mind, you got to see the way it looks. And immediately you will snap yourself out of the drought. Immediately you will snap yourself out of the cave. Immediately you begin to snap yourself out of the burden. The deliverance is not found in the emotion that comes after. The deliverance is being delivered in your mind. The peace is not an emotional state, yes, that comes after. But the peace is found where? In your mind. If you get in this, say I. Put off. Put off. Put off. If you're waiting for God to take the burden away, it won't happen. It happens once you decide that it's gone. It happens the moment you decide it is gone. Because he can't remove something that you don't want for it to be removed. He won't do that. He is not going to just open up your roof and then pour money on your table. It won't work that way. You have to see it in your mind. You have to do something that's going to cause you to see it, perceive it. Say, I perceive the goodness of God in my life. Say, I perceive the goodness of God in my life. Now you have to put an image of what you perceive is the goodness of God in your life. So whatever it is, whatever is your desire, you got to tell me what it looks like in your mind. What it looks like in your mind. With your husband, those who are desiring a husband, what do your husband look like in your mind? If you desire, you know, any single, well, I don't think you're no single man any. Oh, well, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you single woman, just pray for some single man to come. So just pray for them to come. Bless the Lord. They out there. I promise you, they out there. I mean, no need to come here looking for the ones that's married. You know, we're taken. So just look for the single one. And I mean, I can't help you. You know, I mean, I don't have any single friends. I mean, I don't. You know, I mean, all my friends are married and I can't give you them. So the only thing that you can do is do what? Perceive your husband where? In your mind. I mean, you know, if you look at one of us, you look at Pastor Frank, you know, you look at Big Mike, you look at Sam and Abe and my big dog. And I ain't gonna put you out there because you're working. You understand? And Carrie, you know, hey man, look, you don't have an image in your head. You want to look at one of us and say, well, you know, I would sure like my husband to be buff. You know, we buff. We some buff men up in here. You know, I want my man to be tall. You know, ain't none of us short. No offense to the short guys. You know, but I mean, we're the only one here. You understand? So, you know, I want him to have a beard. Okay, I want to be clean shaved. Whatever. Don't play me like I can't grow a beard. Just look at them old pictures. That joker was black. Bless the Lord. That had that joker black. Amen. So it's all right if you want to use the men in here to paint you a perception of what you desire. I mean, we're righteous men. We're righteous men of God. I believe y'all believe, men. If you're righteous, come on. I know it's just a few, but if you're righteous, come on, scream I. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Righteous. Amen. You got something to look at. And believe God for it. Amen. But you got to have it in your mind. He says this. Put off the former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Which means, let's use this. This means that if you're thinking about a man of God, he will never come on your former conduct. That means that whatever it is that you're desiring from God that's in your mind, you got to look like it. You got to look like the husband that you desire. You got to look like him. You got to know that you match that. Ooh, girl, something changed about you. Well, I'm calling him to me. You don't got to tell him that. But just receive it. If they tell you you look good, receive it. They don't know why you're looking good, but you get up every morning looking like your husband because you're calling him to you. Whatever it is that you got the image. Look, God called me to be a pastor. You know when I started pastoring, when I started looking like one. Well, what a pastor look like? Well, you know. I don't know. But I started looking like the one God wanted me to be. And I didn't have to wear a collar around my neck is what I'm trying to tell you. I didn't have to have a black suit on or come in here with the staff. And I'm not knocking nobody who believe that they have to do it. I mean, you believe that that helps you, then go ahead. But I don't need that. Amen? That's when I started walking in my assignment. Once I believed it. And once I had a picture of it in my head. Okay. Now watch this. Here's where I want to go. Here's where I want to go. And be renewed in the spirit of your what? And be renewed in the spirit of your what? And be renewed in the spirit of your what? And be say, I am renewed in the spirit of my mind. Say, I am renewed in the spirit of my mind. And give God praises for that. By faith, give him praises for that. The spirit of your mind, in the core of your mind, not the surface, in the core of your mind, in the foundation of my thought, God has renewed me. He has see, God ain't trying to make you new. And I don't even want us to say Happy New Year. Ain't nothing new in my life. He didn't give me a new wife. He didn't give me new children. He gave me a renewed wife. Renewed children. Well, how could it be renewed, Frank, when the children wasn't here physically? It was here in my mind. Everything that you desire comes out of you. So when I tell you that you have it already, you got to give praises to God as that is all. See, the reason why it's hard for us to praise God if we got it already, because you be waiting for it to materialize. And that's a lie for the pits of hell. I believe that I already had my wife before she materialized. So it ain't a new wife, it's a renewed wife. I believe that I already had my children before my children ever materialized. So I don't have new children. I got renewed children. Amen. So I don't wait to thank God for it when it's already materializing in my hand. By faith, I already have it. 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 By faith. See, I want you to understand something. When I'm repeating something over and over and over and over again, it's so that you can catch it. By faith, I already have it. By faith, I already have it. By faith, I already have it. I'm saying that hoping that somebody would get excited about whatever it is that you believe in God for, you already have it. By faith, I already have it. Whatever it is that I'm desiring for, by faith, I already have it. I had to train my mind to see it that way, Pastor Sam, because if I didn't train my mind to see it that way, I will always be depressed because it haven't materialized yet. And that's where we lose our hope. That's where we lose our faith. That's where we lose our motivation. That's where we lose our inspiration, because we are putting a time on it thinking that it should already materialize by now. And because it haven't materialized in a week, and because it hasn't materialized in a month, because it hasn't materialized in 6 months, because it's been 2 years and you've been praying on that thing and it hasn't materialized, you use that as an excuse to say, I'm going to stop believing. You use that as an excuse to say, I'm going to stop hoping. I'm going to stop believing. I'm going to stop trusting. And that's why you don't have it. Amen. And that qualifies it to be a perverse, faithless generation. But tell your neighbor you already got it. Tell him again, look at him in the face, point at him like you want to poke him in the eye and tell him you already got it. They might be sleeping right beside you, so you might need to poke him in the eye and tell him that you already got it. I would tell you smack him, but I don't want to start a fight in here, and tell him that you already got it. Whatever it is that you believe in God for, you got to understand that you already have it. See, if I stand up here and I don't use the Bible, you might not believe me. So maybe if I open up the Bible and I go verse for verse for verse, then you might see it. Maybe your faith has not developed strong enough that all you got to do is hear it and believe it. Because surely the Bible says that faith doesn't come by reading and reading by the word of God. The Bible says, for then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Which means that, Father, I don't have to see it. All you got to do is speak it and I will receive it. But because our faith is not as strong that it needs to be, we got to go verse by verse by verse by verse by verse by verse by verse. Do I have to write it down for my daughter to know that I am her father? Or does she believe that I am her father just on the account I say it? I mean, she never opened up her eyes and saw me standing right there. Zoe, I'm your father. She can't remember when she came out of the womb crying and I was there. Zoe, I'm Frankie and I'm your father. I'm your dad. I'm daddy. And I'm going to forever be your dad. See? She can't remember when she came out of the womb. So then how is it that she knows that I'm her father? Because she spent the appropriate time with me and she's learned my ways. She understands my voice. So if I call her name, she responds. She don't react, she responds. See, we've been taught to react towards God, but God don't want us to react. He wants us to do what? Respond. He's calling your name. He's calling your name, and he wants you to do what? Respond. He wants you to do what? Respond. He wants you to do what? Respond. Somebody say, I will respond to the voice of the Lord. Say, I will respond to the voice of the Lord. If this teaching has been helping you on this morning, come on and give Christ a hand clap of praise. Because I'm feeling good about this thing on this morning. I'm feeling good about this. Yes, Lord. Thank you. I received that. Hallelujah. Last verse. And that you put on the new man. That word new man means the renewed man. Say, God has renewed me. He has renewed everything in me. See, we got to get to the point that we say these things, right? I know you love affirmations. And affirmations are so important. And it is good to just say the affirmations off the word. Just say it off the word. So you're speaking the word and God responds to his word. If we want God in this year to respond to our life, then he got to do it by the word. And that you put on the renewed man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. I have to stop now. My time has come and I have to stop. But where I was going now was to show you that once you have transformed your mind, or your mind is being transformed, it must be transformed on something. It is not the will of God that we conform to the world. Understand that. That's not God's will. That's not God's will that we conform to the world. And watch this. Let me help you with this. It's also not God's will that we transform. I know that's, oh man. Well, let me put it like this. That's not the original plan of God. It is not God's will that we conform, and it is not God's will that we have to transform. Okay, let me put it plain, more plain so you can get that. It's not God's will that we conform to the world, and it's not God's will that we have to transform from the world. See, I'm just going step by step so it can be more plain. Because I don't want us to leave here, go home, and trip up. The only reason why we have to transform is because we sin. The only reason why we got to transform is because we have conformed. So that we won't stay in that conformed state, God created another door, which is called transformation. And another word for transformation is repentance. If I repent in my mind, if I repent in my mind is made up, and I repent in my mind, I have transformed back some to somewhere, to the original state from which God has created me in the beginning, true and righteousness without sin. But I only sin when I conform to a principle that's contrary to God, and then God put here, watch this, here, right in the middle. He put right here in the middle. He is on one side, conforming is on the opposite side, and that's to be able to transform. But if I'm going to transform, Najee, I got to transform on a principle of something. Say vision. I'm going to leave you with that one. Vision. 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 See that? Vision. Vision. We're going to pick up on next Sunday on two scriptures. First scripture is, where there is no vision, my people what? Yeah. If you're going to transform, you got to transform on vision. Next one we're going to look at on next Sunday is this. My people are destroyed for lack of what? Yeah. I want to touch on that right now, but I ain't going to do it. I want to deal with that right now. My body just want me to deal with that right now, but I'm going to be here at 1 o'clock and I'm not going to do that. I think you got enough on today to help you. I just think that you received enough on today. I can't give it to you all because you're not going to receive it, and now you just overstuff. So I'm going to pause. I'm going to put a period right there. And on next Sunday, we're going to deal with vision. Because it's not enough for us to just deal with transformation. But we got to show you in the areas in which God wants you to transform in. Vision. That's one. That's one area we're going to deal with in transformation of the mind. Vision. Some of you are starting off the year and you're saying that my vision is this, my vision is that. And 2 months down the road, if you're not careful, you're going to lose track of that vision. And it's going to seem like your life is all out of control. Life is not out of control. You just not holding fast to the confession of your vision. This church has a vision. Church always had a vision. And I'm not going to preach on it, but I just want to let you know this church has a vision. And one of the major vision is this: to establish the presence of the Lord in communities. That's where we're losing the battle, is right in the communities, in our homes. We got nightclubs everywhere. But there's really not enough spiritual-led churches in our community that's truly preaching and teaching and demonstrating the word of God. And if there's anything that we know how to do, that's how to plant a church. We planted 3 of them. And the only reason why we had to move them, because we didn't have pastors to put there. We planted one in Pringletown. We planted one in Mount Scorner. We planted 2 in Mount Scorner. And anytime you can plant a church in the mall, we didn't have $50,000. We didn't have that. Look at this. If anybody know how to plant a church, see this? See this? See all of this? We use what we got. We use what we had. That's what this church is about. We use what we have. We let the Lord use us, and we use what we have. We use what we have. And once we started nailing, and once we started moving, the anointing flow. The anointing of God will cause you to do the impossible. And every person that walked through that door that came and visited us, they were all amazed. They were all amazed. Listen to me. When the presence of the Lord moves, you know what happens? It's amazement. They become amazed. They begin to ask questions. God wants the world to ask questions. So he don't want you to look like the world. He don't want you to be on the status in the same level as the world. If the world is not coming to you and asking you questions of how you doing it, then you got to ask yourself, is God in it? We are so curious about how the world is doing what they're doing, but they're not curious about how we're doing what we're doing. And every person that walked through that door, they were curious. They couldn't believe that it was a church in the mall. God wants to make the world to become a believer, but you have to do the impossible. And everything in this church has been done off of the impossible. And then God will send workers. God will send workers to help you work. But he is never going to send workers to help you work if you don't step out and drive the first nail in the wall. He will never send the helpers that needs to help you build that ark. The church is an ark. That's what it is. The church is an ark. It's an ark. It's an ark. And if you want to get a perception of how the ark looked, go back and read the book of Noah. Not the book of Noah. In Genesis, where Noah was building the ark. The ark is an ark of safety and covering. And we got so many people out here drowning in the water. Drowning in the water. They're out here. They're drowning in the water. They're drowning in the water of emotions. They're drowning in the water of debt. They're drowning in the water of spiritual deficiency. They're drowning. And whenever God sees a flood, he has an ark built. So what is this church? This church is an ark. That's what it is. It's an ark. And don't you dare ever doubt it again. This church is an ark. And this is why God has put us here. And you don't have the right to doubt it. And my assignment is to stand at that door. Stand out that door. Stand right out there at that door. And to call all of those who don't want to die into the ark. And you are here to help guide them. You are here to help guide them. You are here to show them love. You are here to show them kindness. And when they get in and they begin to feel the safety and security within the ark, they too want to go out and save those who are drowning. To bring them. And when the ark gets full and there's no more room, then God will give us a bigger ark. But he is not going to give us a bigger ark until this ark is full. To capacity with all of those who are drowning out there. He want to fill this place. That is the vision of this church. And that's why you're here. That's why God has given you assignment. Not to take it back home, but to go out and to save those. To save those. To save those. To save those. He don't have you on that job just so that you can get a paycheck. There's someone on that job that's drowning. But if you're not careful, you begin to look at your own circumstances like it's all about you. And I'm here to tell you that it's not about you. God didn't save you and bring you out of bondage so that it's about you and for others. And I decree and declare that there's no more seat in this place that's going to be empty. I decree and declare that there's no more seats here that's going to be empty. That's going to be filled with people. It's going to be filled to the capacity of those individuals out there that think that they're drowning. And they are drowning. Because it's not about you. It's about the work of the Lord. So tell your neighbor, get off yourself for a moment. Tell your neighbor, get off yourself for a moment. You are here for a reason. And I refuse to say that I stood up 2:00 in the morning, leaving this place 2:00 in the morning, tearing down stuff, folks sacrifice painting walls, folks sacrifice building platforms so that we can have a place to worship, and to give up on a vision. I've refused to do it. We must work together, and that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to work together. We're going to work together. We're going to work together. It will not be no slothfulness. It will not be no laziness. It will not be I'm tired. We're going to work together. We're going to work together. We're going to build an ark together. And I decree and declare that we're going to build arks all over this place. We're going to build it. We're going to build it. And then let God bring them in. 2 by 2, he'll bring them in. Just like he called the birds into the ark. Just like he called the bears into the ark. Just like he called the lions. Just like he called all of them into the ark. It's the spirit of the Lord that will bring them. You don't got to do that. But you Spirit and he will bring them. But it can't be done. See, I don't want to do it myself because then I'm the man. But if we can do it together. But it takes work. It takes work. It takes hard work and dedication. Not giving up. My desire is to have a strong children's area. But it's going to take work. It's going to take you being uncomfortable. Well, you know, Pastor Frank, I ain't never worked with them, no kids before. But that's all right. Do it by faith. But it takes work. Everybody must grab a broom. Everybody must grab a shovel. Everybody must grab a tape measure. And we must work. Amen. This church is also designed to help leaders to find your purpose and to find your call. When I started out in ministry, I was looking for help like never before to help coach me and mold me. I made a lot of unnecessary mistakes in ministry. You know why? Because I didn't have somebody to coach me and it truly helped me. Not so that they could fill their pockets, but they really saw my heart. And I traveled. I traveled to California. I traveled to Atlanta. I put in some footwork. We did. And I made a covenant before God. And I said, God, if you bless me, bless me. I will be a hub to help other individuals who believe that God has given them a voice. It doesn't have to be preaching. It could be whatever it is. But they got a place that they can come learn. So that we work hard to have a training center here. These things don't happen overnight. And it ain't perfect. Some of these things we got to learn as we go along. So we're going to make some mistakes. But I don't care. Sometimes you take how many carpenters or anybody know how to get a nail and a hammer? Anybody know how to do that? Okay. All right. I don't want to say carpenters because that's a skill that apparently I don't have. Amen. But you take a nail and you take a hammer. Have you ever tried to drive that? I mean, they don't do it now. They got the thing about it. But when you try to drive a hammer in a wood and you drive it crooked. Hey, man, you got to take the back of the hammer, pull a nail out, and do you quit and go home? You grab another nail and you do what? Find another and you drive it. So sometimes we're going to bend the nail in this year. But we pull it out, throw it away. Don't use the same nail. It's bent. Don't even try to straighten it. You wasted too much time. Because once it's a bent nail, it's done. I don't care how you try to straighten that thing out. It's not going to work. Then you're going to create another problem. You're going to break the nail off in the wood. Now you really got a problem. So just throw the nail away. God supply you with another one. You bend that one. Don't worry. Get another one. Now, it must come a time where you stop and you say, now, you know what? Now, wait a minute. I need to get some help because obviously I don't know what I'm doing here. Let me call Cookie. Let me call Abe. Hey, man, can y'all show me how to nail? Abe say, well, don't worry about it. That way, that method ain't working. There's another method. We're going to get a nail gun. Is there such thing as a nail? Yes, and see, watch this. Look at that. Now you work much faster. Amen. So you don't have to know how to do everything. You just find the right person, and we can work together. There's some areas I can't counsel you in. I'm a pastor, but I really can't. So I'm going to just bump you off to Sam. It doesn't mean that I'm not pastor. I'm just... Sam can help you with that. Keisha can help you with that. Charlena can help you with that. Then there's some areas that I can help you with that. You understand? This year we're going to work together. Amen? I believe in God that we're going to plant two new churches. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to do that. I spoke, and if you think that I'm telling the untruth, me and Sam, we was on a Bible session. We was on a Bible session at another church. We didn't even leave home. We just, boom, and we was there. Immediately, we was there, right? Didn't have to put no gas in the car, nothing like that. If you sleeping, that woke you up in it. But we was there, man, and we had a good time. And that lady said that do you guys, and she asked me, she said, do you guys have like a training center? And you know the first person I thought about? Sam. I said, well, we most certainly do. I said, we most certainly do. And I began to tell her about our DISC assessment program, and the more I just gave it to her. Sam didn't know that. He was home sleeping. And I had his name ringing in that office. Oh, yeah, we got a pastor, and oh, that's what he do. He don't know he got work this year. Watch this. She said, because, you know, I be on the media. You know, I be doing the media and stuff like that. And I said, oh, we got two young ladies. They're very young. And the youth, watch this. The youth, I'm talking like we mega boy. Yeah. That's how you got to talk about your church. You know? I said, shoot, man, the youth run your. I said, oh, yeah. They got a worship in them. Sometime I got to stop and tell them, hey, turn me up, because they're back there just worshiping. They're just back there worshiping the Lord. They're all in it, eyes closed. So she said, well, I would love if they can come and help us. Now, understand, I had a meeting with the board of directors, and I shared with them the vision. I didn't share it with the church, but I shared with them the vision. I went back and I began to study the vision, study the foundation of the church that got lost because I was focusing so much on people. And I got sidetracked with the vision. And I was reminded that I had to go back and revisit it. But right after I shared that with the board of directors, guess what happened? Folks started coming. Two people came. Two people came about a church. Two people came. So this is why we're training you, to send you out. Don't give up on your anointing. Don't give up on your gift. Don't give up on your call, because there's somebody out there needed. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand, a clap of praise. Amen. Bless God for the word. We bless you for the word on this morning. Amen. Thank the Lord for the word on this morning. What we're going to do, I told the ministers that today they were going to take the day off today, and I was going to come and I was going to minister through the whole service. It's not because they're not capable, but I wanted the ministers to just be with you today so that they can hear the word. Amen. And I wanted you to hear my heart, okay, this Sunday. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to bless the house. Now, it's not going to be me up here doing that, so she won't forget the vision. Miss Tyra, give Miss Tyra a round of applause. She has taken the response. No, you have to throw something on your pants, but that's the shadow. That's all, my bad. But she has taken on that responsibility to every Sunday come up and talk to you guys about the finances and the purpose of giving, because folk don't have money spent. Folk don't have problems spending their money. They just want to know where their money going. Amen. Oh, you ready? Oh, 10-4. Like 10-4. Y'all know what 10-4 means. That's a police code. I'm sorry. Okay, well, give a round of applause for Tyra B as she come to give you some information on our finances. Amen. You got it?
Oh boy.